Please be seated. We have quorum. Will all alternates please come forward to be seated? Okay, everyone, please be seated. First item on the agenda today is going to be the approval of the agenda. So moved. Oh, all right, I'm going to ask for a vote on the approval of the agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Okay, that carries. The approval of the Academic Senate meeting minutes of October 8th. Deletions, amendments, changes. Okay, then I'll ask for a vote. Everyone in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. Abstentions? None. Okay, let's go to item number three. The first item is going to be the guest speaker for today. And I'd like to introduce today's guest speaker. It's going to be Richard Alvarez, the Vice President of Enrollment and Retention. He started out in 1985 as an admissions counselor at Montclair State College, now the university. Subsequently, he moved to Pace University, and he was there as Director of Admissions, serving for 14 years, and then he embarked on a 13-year tenure here at CUNY Central Office. His experience is CUNY. He worked closely with enrollment teams of all the university's campuses. And now he's here at Queens College as our first vice president for, as I mentioned before, enrollment and retention. And one more thing I have to say, he is a product of the CUNY system. He has a BA from Hunter College and an MS Ed in higher education from Baruch College. Let's welcome Richard Alvarez.
Good afternoon, everyone. I started my admissions career when I was 10, so just for the record. And there are a lot of places here, so I'm going to thank you for the opportunity to address you today. My goal today is just to introduce myself, introduce the new division, but primarily to listen from you. I've spent, actually tomorrow will be my the close of my fourth month on campus. I think I'm ready for my either midterm or final exam for the first semester. And it's really been an incredible experience trying to get to meet as many people as possible. It's awesome to be back on a college campus. I didn't realize how much I missed it until I actually came back, although I had a great experience as the university director of admission. Because I did get to work with all of my colleagues across the campus. And one of the challenges is that I needed to learn about 20 different institutions as we represented them. Now I only need to focus on one, which is actually quite a lot of fun. And I'm still working with the we. I often, more often than not, say we, Queens College, but so every once in a while as I address or talk about the university, I address the we university-wide. So as you heard, I've had a long history with the university. I have been both in the public and private sector in and out of New York. In addition to that, I have been involved with the Professional Association for College Admission, which is both the National Association for College Admission Counseling. I'm a past member of the Board of Directors. I served 3 years, and I'm currently chairing a National Committee on Transfer Admission, which is a conversation that we're having across the country, which again, all of you know, it's something very important to us here at Queens College, since a large number of our incoming students every fall are transfer students. I'm also a past president of the New York State Association for College Admission Counseling, which is the New York State affiliate of the national organization, working with both our high school counselor colleagues, our CBO colleagues who are working with students going on to college, whether they be high school students, college students, or adults coming back to school. So I do have kind of a network of colleagues and an appreciation for the work that is taking place in the New York area. Here at Queens College, it is a newly formed division. the Division of Enrollment and Student Retention. And within the enrollment side, we have admission, financial aid, registrar, ACE, Weekend College, the One Stop. Within the student retention area, and the enrollment division is a department or unit, for lack of a better term, is headed by Vincent Angrizzani, who has been here at Queens College for a number of years. We have the student retention side, which is headed by Dr. June Bob, and that includes Academic Counseling Center, the Academic Support Services Center, Freshman Year Initiative, Honors and Scholars, and I know I'm going to forget one, so I'm going to look at my notes. We have Writing Across the Curriculum and the SEEK program. And the third pillar of the area is enrollment marketing. We have kind of partnered with, we've kind of split the communications and marketing team. So the enrollment marketing team is really focusing more on the communication to our prospective students, also our staff and our faculty, to try and figure out how do we do a better job of communicating the value of a QC education to our prospective students, but also working with our current students to figure out how do we help them and support them through their undergraduate experience here, and their graduate or just their graduate or undergraduate. So it's part of the work that we're trying to do. So that kind of, in a nutshell, is an introduction to the Division of Enrollment and Student Retention. And I would like to take the rest of my time with you is to hear from you. As I learn about the campus, I've been meeting with different groups, trying to meet with as many department chairs as I can, and it's been a really great experience, but I wanted to thank you for the invitation to come here and basically open it up to you to hear your thoughts, anything that I should be paying attention now, or any kind of work that you're doing that you think would be helpful for us to pay attention to, and primarily from our students, you know, what are some of the things that we need to be looking at to support you through your experience here. So I'm going to open it up to your comments and questions.
Hi, my name is Joshua Yaminian. I'm a Senate at large. And as a student here, I obviously try taking advantage of most of the activities on this campus. And I also do talk to a lot of other students around campus. I have a lot of friends in the classes I'm taking, and a problem that students encounter in this school is, well, first of all, they don't have majors that they're looking for here. So that would obviously be a reason for a student to choose another school over this one. And I understand to just create a department, it's a difficult thing to do, but if you offer more courses and a wider range, do a survey to see why students wouldn't want to come here. Because I know I have a lot of friends that have transferred out because one, they didn't have that this Queens didn't have the degree that they were looking for, and two, because the courses that they tried to get into were always filled. And a lot of students that come to school here are usually the ones that, because CUNY is an affordable school, so students that come here are going to, obviously, a lot of students work. So when students work, they have less time to come to school, so they have a very restricted time frame for courses. And when they don't get those courses, then they're probably going to e-permit at another school because they need to take a certain class in order to graduate on time or within a couple of semesters. And another problem, and as a student, again, I do take advantage of the library hours that are open. And I have a lot of friends. At 10 o'clock, the library closes. No one else is allowed in there. And I have friends as I'm walking out. My friends know I'm a senator. So they ask me, like, how come you guys don't keep the library open longer? They say St. John's is open till later. So for students that can't study at home, but they prefer studying at school, and for me, I used to never love studying at home. I used to never love studying at school, but now I'm here in school every day till 10 o'clock. And also, I agree with the fact that if the library, I think, was extended longer, more students would be willing to stay in school longer, and obviously not all students, And I guess that also correlates with students that come on the weekends. I don't come on the weekends. I can't speak for those students. But it's the fact that the library, the courses that students transfer out, or they, before they even, after they go to a two-year school, they don't come here. They go to Binghamton or Stony Brook rather than Queens. Thank you.
And we have, I know that through the Student Government Association, we have received feedback in terms of what are some of the students' needs, and I think that's part of what we are trying to figure out. What are those issues that students are interested in doing, and then how do we facilitate supporting students? There are a lot of different ways. We're looking at also space across the campus in terms of areas where students can study, but that recommendation about the library has already been forwarded to the president, and we are looking at, you know, how do we help and support our students. And with regard to the majors, we are also looking at how do we not only talk about what is available, but understanding that there's so many students who graduate with a degree and they go and work in a particular field, for us to have more information for students about the different options available to them with a particular degree, and understanding that many of the fields now require a master's degree. So how can we help our students complete their undergraduate work at QC and then prepare themselves to go to a school that provides the program that they're looking for at the graduate level? But we're also looking at how do we communicate with students as we are courting them to look at Queens College, so that we could make it clear to them the breadth of the programs that we have available, so that it is a good match. We do understand that most students come in as freshmen undecided, so they are looking at different options, and we do offer a full range, but it is something that we've heard before, and we're going to try and figure out how do we get that information to students, but also then help them understand what other options are available to them within the college. So thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Erica Davis, student senator at large and deputy holder of the chair and incapable of using a microphone. So I had two comments or questions. The first is about actually attracting students. So I know that within the CUNY system, there are certain schools that are known for their specific programs, so City College for Engineering, Baruch for Business. I think that one of the issues that we have within the CUNY system is that we don't necessarily advertise the programs that are really attractive to students, what differentiates us from other campuses, because a lot of people want to be in New York City, and if they're going to be in an outer borough, why? So I think that that's one of the things that we need to focus more on, and that I think could very easily supplement the advertising that we have right now on LIRR trains and subways. And then the second is a question of retention. I know that as student government members, what we try to fight is the commuter mentality and the feeling like people are not connecting to campus beyond the educational services it provides. So my question would be, what do you see as a potential solution to making people feel more connected, more pride, and more like they're part of a community and not just a school?
Very good point. What we are trying to do, and what I tried to do in my role at the university, is really talk about the student experience, because it is more than just about the in-classroom experience. And I like to use the term that, you know, the majority of our students live off campus, as opposed to addressing ourselves as students, you know, that we're a commuter campus. And also trying to share with prospective students the richness of the student clubs and organization and everything that's happening to attract them. But in terms of the retention piece, we're working and working with VP Rockman to try and figure out how do we communicate with our current students about everything that's happening on campus. Because I do think that there is a lot going on, but not everybody knows about it, or, you know, their priorities are different. So I would welcome your input as a student to figure out how can we better communicate with our students. And it's something that we need to do on a regular basis, and then examine, are there other ways in which we could engage the community? Because I do know that when I leave the office, and if it doesn't matter what time of day or if I come on a weekend, the campus is always buzzing with activity. So it is happening. I think that most students kind of, the student union becomes a big hub, the students that are in the summit, but how do we kind of bring everybody together and take advantage of what's available? And also, how do we create more of a team spirit with our athletics program? because I think that that becomes another way, whether you're interested in being an athlete or just supporting athletics, to kind of weave that into the community. So I really need your help as student leaders to figure out how do we continue to build that. And you are one of the strongest voices about that QC experience. You know, we could spend a lot of time in a professional setting talking about why QC, but when students and their families hear from a current student, it's a much more powerful message. And there's incredible work that you're doing here on campus. It's just a matter of how do we share it broadly. So I really welcome your help with that, because it is a need.
Dean Savage, college-wide at large. We have a transfer out rate of about 22% during the 20 to 22%. The transfer out rate, okay, the proportion of students who transfer to other campuses, about half of these, oddly enough, transfer to two-year colleges, which is something most faculty are not aware of, and they often are deciding to go for vocational training of various kinds, or to get a certificate, or to go ahead and pick up some kind of extra skill that will give them an edge in the job market. But one of the things I've been looking at over the years is the transfer relationship, the balance of transfers between Queens College and the senior colleges. And by and large, those other campuses have the same kind of trepidations that we have when we start to think about our students leaving us in order to major in something else. And by and large, we win the balance of transfer trade. The only exception is Hunter College. And I'm not quite sure what that is. But with respect to all of the other senior colleges within CUNY, when it comes to weighing how many transfer in as opposed to how many transfer out, more transfer in. Now, I would be very curious as to what you've been hearing so far. What programs, what majors should we think about developing in order to address some of these problems?
Well, we're still kind of gathering information, and I think, as you know, it is not an easy response to look at what majors are more popular, but we are trying to figure out how do we provide our students with more information about what they could do with the programs that we do offer, understanding that, again, most students are practicing, or once they graduate, their first job is not necessarily related to what they study. And I think we have the advantage of being a strong liberal arts and sciences college, and it's probably trying to help students understand what path they could follow. I do, in my previous role, I did spend a lot of time with families kind of convincing them that the liberal arts and sciences was a viable option, because most of them still feel that, well, if my child is not majoring in something that they could get a job in at the end, it's not worth it. So the whole kind of explaining the philosophy of the liberal arts education, because I think that is the piece that we, particularly for students whose parents were educated outside of the U.S., they have a different understanding of what that means. So it is something that we're working on. I do think that we do have students who are transferring out who are in very good academic standing, and often will also go to private schools. So trying to figure out how do we keep them here and make it a value proposition, and also then try and work with them to transition them easier into graduate programs, because I do think that that is the piece where we could do a lot more work in trying to encourage more of our undergraduate students to go into a master's program. But again, any data that you have, I know your name was one that has been given to me by many, many people as I was transitioning here, but also as I've arrived here, to try and figure out how do we gather more information, and then how do we use the information that we have. Thank you.
Alan Ludman, College Senator at Large, speaking here as a geologist. One of those disciplines that our students don't seem to think leads to a career. And if they do, they think you have to go to California, Texas, or Colorado, when there must be about 15 or 20 agencies of the city of New York that hire geologists. We just had an alum get a nice job at AIG. Working with 25 other geologists in their environmental risk management group for environmental claims. We have people in finance. People just don't know that we exist, and I think most of the time, I don't know how many of you have ever seen a geologist at work. People don't seem to in New York. The guy looking down that hole at the gas station is studying doing water quality and looking for gasoline leaks. So we have a disadvantage. We have another disadvantage, and that is there is no AP geology course in the United States. And so we have to do something about it. And I really like when I hear liberal arts and sciences, because most of the time we're described as a liberal arts college, and the sciences kind of get left out. The American Academy of Sciences has done some estimates that there are going to be between 130 and 200,000 openings for people in the sciences in the next 7 years that the American academia pipeline cannot provide. National Science Foundation has created the IUSE initiative, which is an attempt to get more people into the pipeline and see to it that more of them come out the other end. And to my knowledge, there is one school in CUNY that got one of their grants, and that's us. And there are grants in each of the directorates of NSF, and I'm addressing this to the students in the room who might be science majors and the representatives of my sister and brother science departments. We got one. There are similar ones in chemistry, physics, and biology. And there is a lot of money on the table here. I mean, we only got $370,000. And that is to attract more students and to see to it that we work within the college to make their majors easier. For example, our students will get free calculus tutoring. And nationally, calculus is the stumbling block for many earth science majors. So I would urge that we keep the words sciences when we talk about liberal arts. I would urge my colleagues to please think about these resources because they can make life much easier for students. The comment that we have to create a sense of community, we will be creating a community similar based on the honors community, which I think is highly successful, FYI, which I think is highly successful. This will be a geosciences community, and it will be based at Queens, Queensborough, and LaGuardia. And guess where all of their majors are going to transfer to? This is a help for enrollment.
Thank you. And congratulations.
So there's the answer to your question about what we can do to promote our programs here at Queens College. Here you are. But here's our spokesperson right here.
My name is Renee Weiss. I'm a member of the faculty in the accounting department. So maybe just to use my own promotional opportunity here to an existing audience, to dovetail on that, I recently met with some folks who we've been trying very hard to bring back to active campus recruiting, and that's PricewaterhouseCoopers. And one of the things they indicated was surprising to me, but I guess it shouldn't have been, is that they are now looking for students not only who major in accounting and have a commitment to succeed with the CPA licensing requirements, but also that have STEMs. And so, you know, if you talk about what we offer, so I'm now telling my advisees, look, you know, might be good to think about, no offense, Provost Henry, but our students tend to want to double major in econ, and I'm saying, why don't you think about math? So, you know, that is, we have just a wide range, and we see connections that maybe students might not see, and it's something that we could promote. But my concern is one of resources. For one thing, I tend to get in my class maybe 30% of students who really are struggling. And oftentimes, they just bail out. I try to reach them, I email them, but they're kind of gone. And that's troubling to me that, you know, you spoke about folks not being able to register for certain classes, so then these are seats held but not used. And then the resources, I tell them, academic support center, and they tell me, yeah, but the tutors there do things differently. I don't understand it. It's not the way you do it. It's crowded. It's busy. I can't hear. And so oftentimes I could wind up with a cohort of students who come to my office twice a week, and it's my pleasure to do it, but it's also not the best of arrangements. I mean, so that's one thing to consider. You know, I'd like to see these students come back to class and not feel at an early stage that they just can't do it, and so they'll take it again in another semester. You know, I wouldn't want to facilitate that. And then the other thing is about talking to students or reaching students or outreach. You know, we have this website that is huge, but we also have paper notices going up everywhere. I know from my perspective, because I'm the web guy in my department, I'm the last person that should be the web guy, because I, you know, struggle enough to deal with SAS and SPSS and R and blah, blah, blah. Somehow, I just didn't make it in SharePoint. I'm a SharePoint failure. I'd love to have an interactive site. I just can't seem to find the time and the wherewithal to make an interactive website, one that is time sensitive. And also the problem is I see notices a day before an event, and that's a shame because you can't get that word out. So
It's another area that we're focusing on in terms of communication and how do we share information out, understanding that most of our students live on Google, so making sure that the information that is available to them from the outside, but also internally to make sure that we communicate with students based on what their preference is. So we are, again, looking at all of those, and we understand that those are challenges. With regard to academic support services, one of the things that we're looking to see is how do we link better with faculty so that there is a easier transition, and also letting students know before they actually need the services what's available, and it's something that we want to do on a regular basis. So thank you for sharing that with me. Any other questions or comments?
Yeah, it's tricky. My name is Jim McElwain. I'm an adjunct professor in the School of Music here. And I'm also the university faculty senator for part-time instructors and college lab technicians. I have two questions for you. One, what can we do as faculty to encourage better retention from your view? And the second one is, what are your particular strategies for enrollment management during a time of university-wide budgetary reductions that are primarily manifesting themselves as reductions in adjunct teaching assignment?
So your first question, I think that part of what I would like to do is kind of just learn more about what is happening on the campus, because I think that there is a lot happening, faculty working with students working with students that we don't necessarily share. And from, the comment that the first student who spoke is in terms of how do we ensure that the courses that students need to graduate are available to them. So that's part of what we're looking at. It's something that I know that the college has been looking at for a number of years, but then looking at data so that we know our incoming students, how many are coming in for what programs, and how do we then make sure that we communicate that with the department chair so that they understand what the ebb and flow of enrollment is so that we could do better planning. Regarding the resource issue, I think that it's trying to maximize what we currently have and see how do we maximize that and then look at what other things do we need to do. I just need to share this one anecdote. I worked at Pace University for 14 years, and I never realized how deprived we were until I started working at CUNY. So it is kind of, it's very different, but I do think that we have the students, I do believe we have the faculty, I do believe we have the infrastructure, is trying to figure out how do we utilize it in a way that supports our students and also supports our staff and our faculty. And any suggestions, again, I welcome any feedback, comments. As I said, I'm still learning the lay of the land, and it is going to be a multi-year transition, but I'm optimistic that we could make it work, and I look forward to working with you.
Bill Blanford, Earth Environmental Sciences. One thing I would encourage people to do is to look into work study. A lot of our students have jobs outside. One of my students who was falling asleep in my class was, he had a job in the city serving ice cream to Rod Stewart, which was fun. But no, there's a whole lot of work study money out there. A lot of it is left unclaimed. I have two students right now. I've been averaging three since I've been here. It's pretty easy to get, and it's a nice way. You keep them on campus. They're making $10 an hour, and plus they're getting some nice experience.
Agreed. Thank you. And it's something that we are looking at to try and to make it easier for you as a department to hire college work study, because it is a pool of funding that helps the student because they do have the additional source. But we do have a lot of students who are eligible for work study who we're not placing. So that is something that's at the top of my list to try and figure out how do we do a better job of that. Well, I thank you very much. Please do not hesitate to reach out. Thanks again. And students, good luck with finals.
Okay, any announcements, administrative reports, memorials? Okay, seeing none, then the next item on the agenda will be item number 5, committee reports. The first committee is the Undergraduate Curriculum Committee, minutes dated October 8th.
I'd like to move the minutes of the October 8th Undergraduate Curriculum Committee meeting and ask for unanimous consent.
Any objections to unanimous consent? Okay, seeing none, then the motion passes. Next is the Graduate Curriculum Committee, minutes dated October 7th.
I request that the minutes of October 7th of the Graduate Curriculum Committee be accepted. Move unanimous consent.
Any objections to unanimous consent? Okay, seeing none then, motion passes. Next item, the Nominating Committee report dated November 12th.
The Senate Nominating Committee recommends the following individuals for election to the positions that are indicated there, and we ask for your unanimous consent.
Any objections to unanimous consent? Okay, seeing none, motion passes. Item number D, Special Committee Report on Governance.
The Special Committee on Governance met. It did not have a quorum, but the members of the committee that were there agreed to this, and the other members of the committee who aren't there also agreed. It went to the Executive Committee. The Executive Committee adopted it, and it is my privilege to introduce a resolution that will amend our standing rules in such a way as to allow the members of our instructional staff who are in adjunct titles to be the people who vote, be the constituency for the election of those of the members of the Academic Senate who are in adjunct titles. So for the first time in the college history, we will be allowing adjuncts to vote for their own representatives to the college governing body. And I move the adoption of amendment to Standing Rule 4, Section 3A, Administration of Elections, that will add that all members of the instructional staff and adjunct titles shall be the constituency for the election of the at-large adjunct representative authorized in the Charter, and I seek unanimous consent.
Any objections to unanimous consent? Okay, seeing none, this is a motion that in a way went back to about a year and a half, and it's finally come to the full cycle. I'm very glad to hear that the Senate passes it then by unanimous consent. We have one item under old business. That's the nominating committee election of a student to the open math and natural science seat. Any nominations?
I'd like to nominate Daniel Eliahuzadeh. Let me know if you want me to spell that.
Any further nominations? All right, seeing none then, the secretary will cast one vote for the candidate. That is the old business. Any new business? Oh.
Ron Rothenberg, Math Department and Academic Senate at large. I remember at the last meeting, we had this issue with the Education Department proposing that we do away with the academic major requirement and replace it with the taking of, I think it was 30 credits in the academic subject. There was a lot of controversy about it. The item was removed from the undergraduate curriculum committee minutes for further study. And I've heard that there are some proposals that have come up as to what should substitute for the 30 credits of anything in an academic subject. And I'm wondering what has happened with respect to that proposal, the 30 credits in the academic subject for the Ed department put forth. I'd like to know what has happened in that.
That matter was referred back to the Undergraduate Curriculum Committee. We met today with and approved an alternate proposal that will be on our minutes at the next Senate meeting.
Could you give us a brief prelude discussion to it, or is that inappropriate?
The proposal would be that students would do either the co-major or a minor plus enough credits to equal an additional 30 credits. So that is a minor and additional courses to total 30 credits.
I see. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Just before we do adjourn, the next meeting, the December meeting, tends to be a little bit longer because you have more nominations and we do have some curriculum matters. So, bear that in mind. All in favor? All right. Thank you very much. See you in December.